at home, the lifeless deep, still across a nation's darkness, move to wake our souls from sleep, move to stare, to draw.
A new cleanse. Shout it loud, hallelujah.
I'd like you to raise up your two hands and sing this song loud and clear as you enter into this very important Bible study. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You are worthy to be praised and adored. Hallelujah. So we lift up holy hands, we honor God, singing, blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of. Let me hear the sister sing it loud and clear. Hallelujah. So, let's hear the brothers singing it loud and clear. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You are worthy to be praised and adored. Hallelujah. So we lift up holy hands, we honor God. Sing blessed be the name, blessed be the name. Oh, everybody together, let's sing it loud and clear. Blessed. Hallelujah. Worthy to be praised and adored. Hallelujah. So we lift up holy hands with one accord, singing, blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. All eyes closed. Before we pray our first prayer point here this evening, the Lord said he wants to touch some five groups of people. One, is somebody here, you are hearing noises in your stomach. It is an evil noise. And somebody here too, there is something circulating around your breast area. You are in this service now. As another one here, this stubborn power follows you wherever you go to scatter whatever you do. You know what to do, but they scatter it for you. Even at the edge of clear breakthroughs, this evil follow spirit goes there to scatter it. As another person, you are being threatened by Satan. Satanic people. right there where you are, the power of God is going to fall upon you. And you experience the earthquake of deliverance. And you shall be set free instantly in the name which is above all names. Jesus Christ is Son of the living God. Let the power of God move upon these people now. In the name of Jesus. That is the first person. That's number two. That's number three. Four. Yes. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. That's number five. Thank you, Jesus. Now you now pray these three prayers with boiling anger. Because all these things we are going to pray about took place just last night. And don't take it for granted and just take it as it doesn't concern you. Just this last night. Pray with fire and pray with anger. Let your voice roar like thunder. Say, every curse issued against my head. Backfire! In the name of Jesus. Open your mouth and fire back. Curse issued against my head. That's right. Masetekaya Boshendaraba. Yes. Command it to backfire. In the name of Jesus. Masepola Kaya Boshendara. Thou power of God. In the name of Jesus. Woo. Aha, aha, aha. In Jesus' name we pray. If you are that lady here, an unseen power sexually violated you in your dream, and when you woke up, you found semen all over your body, run quickly to the altar and be on your knees now. Everybody will shout this again loud and clear. Don't joke with this. This is a serious matter. So every power calling my name from a pot. Can you shout this loud and clear? Is that the loudest you can shout it? Damn! In the name of Jesus. Something must happen in your life here tonight. Aha, aha. If he's calling my name from a pot, let the power be disgraced. In the name of Jesus. Masakaya boshentera bokoyaba. In Jesus' name we pray. Bible says the violent take it by force. Riapo la canta. That's right. You will shout this now loud and clear. Shout it with boiling anger. Any native doctor divining against my life. Can you shout it loud and clear? Your time is up. Down. In the name of Jesus. That's right. Fire back the arrows. In the name of Jesus. Masatakaya boshendera bokoya. In Jesus' name we pray. Those of you at the altar here, shake your head vigorously so that this arrow of the evil spirit husband will be broken away from your life. Break it. Break it. Every covenant between you and this evil spiritual strong man. Break, 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 break. In the name of Jesus. Aha. Yes. be released from their grip. Enough is enough. Be released. Father, let your power fall upon your people here. Let the yoke of this spirit being be broken in the name of Jesus. These powers that have been violating you, you shall see them no more. 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 In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Jesus' name we pray. You can go back to your seat now. A transaction has taken place in your life tonight. Now, right there where you are, pick a song of praises with a loud voice and sing it loud and clear to the King of Kings and to the Lord of Lords. The one is more than sufficient. The everlasting Father and the Prince of Peace. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Father, we thank you for a wonderful time like this. We praise your holy name because you're a great God and you do great things. Accept our thanks in Jesus' name. Father, I pray that tonight in this place, you will specially open our understanding so that, Lord, we become dominion champions over every trick and wiles of the enemy. In the name of Jesus, to you, Father, be the glory. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. A louder amen. Let's have a seat. God bless you. The title of the message tonight, which I want you to listen to very carefully, is The Truth You Know. The Truth You Know. In John chapter 8, verse 32. John chapter 8, verse 32. The truth you know. John chapter 8, verse 32. John 8, 32. Jesus said, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And ye shall know the truth. The truth you know shall make you free. The truth is a powerful entity. The truth is also a very stubborn entity. The truth is of no value to the person who does not know it, because it is the truth you know that can effect your deliverance. It is only the truth you know that can work for you. How far down the wrong road you have gone does not make it a right road. Because you have traveled far on the wrong road, doesn't make it the right road. That's why you cannot say, because my parents gave back to me, they gave back to me in this place, and therefore I must remain there till I die. You could be sincerely wrong. That you were born into a way and that you have traveled that way all your life never makes it right. Now, the caliber of human beings that you see walk traveling on the wrong road does not make the road right. The fact that they are all big men, they are VIPs, they are walking that road, doesn't make that road right. And another mystery about the truth is that time never changes truth. The truth is ever the truth. The truth is not decided by majority vote. That's why God does not operate democracy. God is not a democrat. God is not democratic at all. God is theocratic. Thus saith the Lord. And this is what you must do. And you have to do it. No opinion, or your opinion is not important again. The only kind of government that God supports is theocracy. This is what God says, and this is what we're going to do. So the fact that a particular government is democratic and if the majority voted for something, it does not mean that because majority voted for it, it is correct. So truth is not decided by majority vote. How many associates you have when you were traveling the wrong road does not make the wrong road right.
We're going to somewhere tonight. And I want you to listen to me very carefully.
And no matter who you are, wherever you are coming from, you will lose every battle you are fighting against the truth. Because the truth is very stubborn and can never die. Not only that one. Wherever truth is present, God is there. It may be an unbeliever who is telling the truth, God will be there. Because he said, they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. When somebody is telling a lie, lying is always afraid of examination. But the truth invites examination. And no matter what men are saying, the truth shall always prevail. Because the truth is tough, very tough. It will not break. Throw it down, it will stand up. Stamp on it, it will recover itself. Say you don't agree with it, you will not mind. Therefore, anybody who is working against the truth, you have the infinite power working against you. And anytime you are moving to a place and the truth is blocking your way, know that you are headed in the wrong direction. Ignoring the truth or despising the truth does not kill the truth. It is still the truth. And no matter what you believe, no matter your own opinion, it does not change the truth. Jesus said, ye shall know the truth. That truth you know shall now effect your deliverance. It shall set you free. Right will always be right, even if nobody does it. Wrong will always be wrong, even if everybody does it. God has given us certain laws in scripture. God has organized the universe according to certain spiritual laws. You may not like God's laws, but it has no respect for your opinion. There is a lamentation from the heart that I'm lamenting here this evening here. This present generation of Christians is very, very shallow spiritually. We get excited at things that have low spiritual value, sometimes spiritually valueless. Hey, I fell under the anointing. And so what? When you fell down and stood up, did it change your life? And it is very sad what is going on. Sometimes I've watched preachers and their congregation shouting and shouting, and I've wondered what they are talking about. I've watched preachers just standing and say, catch it, catch it, catch it. And people say they are catching it. What are they catching? I've watched a preacher remove his coat, turn the coat upside down, and threw it at the congregation. Catch it! And they are excited. It's a very shallow, shallow generation of believers. Whereas God wants us to grow vertically. Most people are growing vertically. There is a difference between growing up and growing fat. You cannot break the law of God and escape. In fact, let's look at it. Nobody even can even break the law of God. It's that law that will break you. You think, for example, you can be immoral, you can do some things that are not clean, and you will escape the consequences. It's a lie. You don't escape any consequences. You can devise clever ways to escape, but you can't escape the consequences. If, for example, you want to go and practice fornication, you may have clever ways of taking some drugs, some contraceptives, so you don't get pregnant. You could use your condom to escape, but you will not escape the consequences. But you shall know the truth. And that truth shall set you free. What are we saying here tonight? Some deliverance will only come by information. Some will be set free by what they know. Some will be destroyed by the information they do not know. The Bible says, my people perish for lack of knowledge. Truth will either bless you or shake you. Truth is firm, immutable, eternal. There is one powerful book published by this ministry. Slaves who love their chain shall remain in their bondage. When you like your chain, you remain in your bondage. I want you to listen to me carefully. Here is Daniel Olukoya standing here at this altar. Here am I standing here at this altar. I do not drink alcohol. Because I do not drink alcohol. Nobody can poison me with alcohol because I do not drink alcohol. Is that clear or not? You don't drink it. So there's no way somebody can use it to poison you. So the mere fact that I don't drink it has cut off anybody who wants to use it against me. The same thing with the few things I'm going to say here tonight before we begin to pray. When you see a newly born baby, a day old, when you behold that baby, you are looking at the image of God. Clean, pure, undefiled. You are looking at how God wants the world to be. But as that baby grows up, if he begins to alter that image of God, he will be declared guilty of destroying the temple of the Most High. Sometime ago in this country, there was an armed robber called Oyenusi, who was shot to death at Babich. After a while, there was one Anene somewhere. I forgot where now. Don't know whether he's dead or alive now. But those people, if you go to their picture when they were babies, and you begin to compare the picture to the man that was shot at Babich or the Anene that was caught, you will see complete contradiction. Here is this innocent looking, lovely looking baby. Here is an armed robber now. I want you to understand this very well. In the olden days, the nose and the ears, they were regarded as doors through which spirits come in and out of people. They believe that if a person wants to run mad, the demonic spirit causing madness enters through the ear or through the nose. They believe that if somebody wants to be sick and the sickness is terrible, it comes in through the nose or through the ears. There are evil spirits coming through those places. Because there were plenty of idols and gods they were serving in those days. Many of these idols were now fashioned as earrings. So the origin of earring was to put it in the ear so that demonic spirits will not come inside. So they put the idol in the ear to prevent demonic spirit from getting inside. That's how it started. Because some people will say, well, it is when I sleep, they come. And sometimes the ring drops off and they pierce the ear so that that idol will have a sitting place in people's ears. That's how it started. The origin of piercing of ear is in demonic worship. People putting amulets and charms in their ears. Also, people put rings in the nose. That was how it started too. So, idols were placed at that gate to prevent other demons from entering. That's how it started. It became widespread and it now became a fashion. I'm saying this now for the sake of those of us who are just going through deliverance. Every day deliverance. You go to deliverance. After that week you are doing deliverance, you remove your earrings, you remove your attachment, you remove all kinds of chains, you put it in the house. That week, miracles happen in your life. Then immediately after that deliverance, you go back to these things, the demons come back. Can't you think and see that part of the miracle of deliverance were those things that you took off? In the book of Genesis chapter 35, we see the first reference to earrings among the Hebrew people, where the association of earrings of Jacob's household is made with strange or foreign gods. It was clear from that scripture that earrings in those days were idols people were putting in their ears. Very clear from that scripture. In Genesis chapter 35. Remember, we're talking about the truth today. We're talking about the first truth now. Genesis chapter 35. I read verse 2 and 4. Genesis 35, verse 2 and 4. Then Jacob said unto his household and to all that were with him, put away the strange gods that are among you and be clean and change your garments. Verse 4. And they gave unto Jacob all the strange gods which were in their hand and all the earrings which were in their ears. So the strange gods were in the hands, they were also in the ears. And Jacob hid them under the oak which was by Shechem. So those things were symbols of idols. That's how it started. A lot of people wonder why we in MFM say we don't want those things here. If you want to be a chorister, we say, no, you can't wear. If you want to be our usher, no, you can't wear. But as you come, as a member of the congregation, and you begin to understand, then you begin to move in a way that will help you to get rid of this self-made idol. It will appear as if, beginning from that time, in the household of Jacob, things like earrings died. But when the children of Israel now move to Egypt, the Egyptians who are chronic idol worshippers, of course they had their idols as earrings in their ears. When the children of Israel were leaving Egypt, they reverted back to the custom of wearing earrings. And these earrings, for you to know that they are still idols. When they waited for Moses and Moses did not come down on time, Aaron collected all the earrings and melted them together. And he said, "These be thy gods that brought you out of Egypt." So it was a combination of the idols in their ears that Aaron put together to form one major one and said, "This is your God that brought you out." When Moses came down and saw what they did, he was so mad with anger. So mad with anger that even the Ten Commandments that God gave to him, he threw it down, broke it. Moses now took that idol, ground it to powder, and put it in water, and started forcing them to drink it. Moses destroyed and completed that elimination of that evil things in Israel. These are the origins. A lot of people who still want to form covenants with the enemy. I'm not convinced. Well, I'm not even seeking to convince you now. I just want to state the truth clearly. Then the ball will now be in your court to decide. Everything used for jewelries, for rings, they are all from the mineral kingdom under the ground. And under the ground, there's a lot of chemical reactions taking place. Mixture of things happening. Things joining together to form all kinds of things. If somebody was worshipping an idol, a golden idol, and he died and was buried with his idol, later, thousands and thousands of years later, somebody found it under the ground, then broke it to tiny, tiny pieces and fashioned it to earrings. If you buy it and put it on, you are advertising a demon. Your ear becomes advertising signboard for the enemy. If you don't have issues or you don't have battle to fight in your life, you may be wearing them about. But when you have issues, you have battle to fight. Any small thing that the enemy can use in your life, you must stop it. It's just like alcohol. If you don't wear earrings, then whatever demon can enter into people's life through earrings will avoid your life because you don't use it. Because in the mineral kingdom, all kinds of things are there. Dead people, dead plants, evil idols. All of them will jump together in a chemical reaction and form a mineral. And then you put it on. You put yourself into unnecessary bondage. Those of you who read stories, you will have read about a demon called Medusa. This Medusa, all strands of hair on her head is a snake. There are sisters today, they will put this Medusa kind of hair on their head. The thing will be long, long like serpent, and they will fold it on top. And the anointing of Medusa falls upon the ear, they begin to have problems. There was a woman they brought here one day. 9 months, 10 months, 12 months, she could not deliver a baby. And when the husband brought her, I said, "Geo, pray, Geo, pray." I asked him, "Which church does she attend?" The man said, "She doesn't follow me here." She said, "She doesn't like our dressing." I said, "Okay, I'm not going to pray. Tell her to dismantle this heavy luggage of hair on her head." She had done this long, long weave-on attachment into her hair, that which is almost 3 times her normal hair. "Go and remove." She originally did not want to answer. Problem multiplied. But then she now decided to listen. Immediately she took off the last strand. She fell into labor. Shows you how the enemy can use these things to cage people's lives.
I know this, I want to do my hair. I want to do my hair. The earlier you begin to know that there are plenty of saloons that are stealing people's virtues, the earlier. There was something one sister saw in a saloon, it changed her life forever. She found that the water they used to wash her hair in that saloon, that woman did not throw the water away. So she sat on this chair where they were using that thing like a circle to warm their head. Something said, follow that woman. So she followed the woman. The woman was carrying the basin of water. She thought she was going to throw it into the sink. No. She was storing the water in a jerry can, thereby stealing the virtues of women. This is a terrible thing. No wonder the Bible says, my people perish for lack of knowledge. My people perish for lack of knowledge. I cannot count how many people have prayed for that the rings on their fingers caught fire and they began to scream. I still remember a particular case at 42, no husband. It was when we were praying. She began to pull off ring from her finger and she threw the ring away. It was then she could marry. She didn't know that with that ring she's been married off. I give you a challenge today. Pray very well. Serious fire prayer. Charge yourself with fire. Then go to the market. Go to where they sell jewelries, earrings, all those things. You will discover that the person selling it will not be able to look at you straight in the eye like this. You'll be looking down. Because they know what they're doing. It's we that we don't know what we're doing. You can't look at your face because most those who do it, they're basically agents. They'll be looking down. What a pity to put on a magnet of evil and you are rejoicing. What a pity to be boasting that it is 18 carat. It's like you took carat when it is carat in your life already. These are serious matters. My people perish for lack of knowledge. Some come to church at the car park, they harvest their earrings, put it inside the car. Then when they get to the car, they start fixing it on again. These are hidden dangers that people don't know. Unfortunately, most of these earrings, jewelries are fashioned with occultic symbols. Some of them like serpents, some of them in a circle with some triangle inside. Unfortunately, 99% of believers cannot even recognize occultic symbol when they see it. And so they're just selling it to us and we're putting it on. There are even parents here, God have mercy on them. They won't wear these things. They'll put it on their children. There are even parents here, when their children come from youth church and they take off their earrings, take off their jewelries. There are even parents here, when their children come from youth church and they take off their earrings, take off their jewelries. Mama will say, I don't want you to be that serious. Don't be this serious. And when there is problem now, you start shouting. So piercing of ears has its origin in idolatry. When you see a newborn baby, you are looking at the image of God. Just like you heard when they were playing the tape, dancers at the gate of death. If God wanted man to be smoking cigarette, he would put a chimney on his head so that the smoke would be coming out. So that the smoke would be coming out. If God wanted people to be practicing oral sex, he would put the penis in the forehead like this. If God intended that you should be piercing your ear and be putting things inside, you will have pierced it from your mother's womb before you were born. So it's a perversion of divine order. I want you to understand this very well. You shall know the truth. The truth you know shall set you free. Similarly, we have a situation today which is against what is in Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 5. Deuteronomy 22, verse 5. I want to explain that to you too and tell you what the origin of it is so you know where we're going now. Because a lot of people receive powerful deliverance, they just go and mess it up themselves. Go and mess it up themselves. Some will come to prayer city, do serious deliverance, but sometimes when I travel and I see them at the airport, I say, my God, look at this woman. Look at this woman who is crying at deliverance. Oh God, deliver me. Oh God, deliver me. Oh God, deliver me. Here yeah, she is now, wearing this wicked trouser that is exposing all her contours. Wearing this blouse that is not touching her belly button. You could see her belly button outside. Here you could see her now pushing up her breast as if it's football. You could see it. And later, she's back in deliverance. The enemy just comes back again, double. In Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 5. Deuteronomy 22, 5. The woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man. Neither shall a man put on a woman's garment. For all that do so are abomination unto the Lord thy God. What is the origin of this exchange of clothes? Why is God saying he doesn't like it? God does not like anything that removes the distinction of sexes. In those days, when evil spirits used to have a free day, many ancient cultures, the native doctor would recommend that the man will wear a woman's clothes and the woman will wear a man's clothes so that the demon that is troubling them will be making mistake. So when they say, go and attack Mr. Solomon, and the demon gets to the house of Solomon, and he finds that he's dressing like he's a woman, he will get confused. He say, ah, but I've been sent to go and attack a man now. This one is dressing like a woman. And the demon will go back. That was the theory in those days. In those days too, idol worshippers used to exchange their clothes in the houses of the idols. This is the origin of it all. And this is very, very sad. Any woman who will keep wearing trousers like men will never be free from spirit husband. They will keep running after you. And all the men too, that the hair on their head is longer than that of their wife, that's problem. You even see plenty of preachers on our TV now. Jerry calls. A man with Jerry calls preaching. Contrary to what is here now. It says, the woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man. Neither shall a man put on a woman's garment. For all that do so are abomination unto the Lord thy God. And if God considers you an abomination, look at what it says in Revelation 21. Revelation 21:27. Revelation 21:27. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie. But they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. So if God regards you as an abomination, it means you will not get into heaven. Because God considers the person as an abomination. There was a time in the history of man, all these women dressing like men vanished. But it started again after the First World War, when plenty of men went to the battlefront and they died. And the women had to work in the factories. They now began to put on men's clothes. And problems started again. I pray that the Lord will deliver us. And from all those who God said, this is your instrument of deliverance, and you go back and begin to put yourself into bondage, God will deliver you. Slaves who love their chains shall remain in their bondage. In those days, when people go before Mars, the idol of Venus, for worship, they exchange their dresses. Men would dress like the women would dress like the men. And this is how this thing started. And heaven is against it. Completely. Cosmetics. The earliest condemnation of cosmetics is associated with a witch woman in the Bible called Jezebel, who was painting her eyes and her eyelids. It is even very terrible now. Some people will put starch on their eyelids. Starch. That thing will now stand out like the eye of a lizard. Just like that. Very scary. And it's a very sad thing. Why can't people leave the image of God the way God just made it? You are a black woman. Why do you want your hair to be looking like that of a white woman? The white woman does not struggle so that her hair will be like that of the black. Why do we want to copy? Why do you want to change the color of your skin? Why are you using things that will bleach your skin and you are lighter than God made you? Why do you want to lighten your complexion? These are simple, simple strategies the enemy uses to defeat our deliverance and defeat us. This is a very strange and straightforward thing. But people don't want to follow it. It is very sad. The other day I was lamenting here. My wife gave me this magazine. And the magazine was full of people who were wedding. And I was looking at these pictures there. Oh my goodness. I said, do they have to dress like this on their wedding day? The whole of the breast upward is empty. The dress does not even have something to hold it by the hand. It is the breast that is holding it. And they call it Christian wedding. I was going on. I now got to a place in that magazine. I saw an Islamic wedding. The bride was all wrapped up. Head, chest, everything. And we claim we are serving the true God. This is very sad. We are doing everything to invite seduction, to invite trouble, to invite the enemy. Those priests who are marrying naked women in church, they too need deliverance. I may be wrong. I have a feeling that they enjoy looking at those open breasts and open chests. There was a lady that came to Mountain of Fire to wed the other time. It was a brother here who has long throat, who went and brought her from another church here. Said, I don't agree with your dressing there. I don't want to dress like this on my wedding day. So she came with that dress that only the breast is holding. She didn't know she was coming to the Mountain of Fire. So we said, no, we can't wed you like this. Say, but I don't have any other dress. Say, we can't do it. It became a big growl, and they came to consult me at the back. I was doing my counseling. I said, does he have a bridal train? That long thing that they drag on the ground? Say, she has. Well, that's good. Just collect it from the ground and wrap it around her neck. I don't understand why you are laughing. This is not a laughing matter. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 9. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 9. In like manner also, that women adorn themselves with modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with braided hair, or gold, or pearls, or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. If you are a woman and you don't want to be godly, this scripture does not apply to you. If you're a woman, you want to be godly, or you are not married, you want to marry a godly husband, this scripture is for you. Modest apparel is apparel that covers the body so as to let you appear in a modest way. Dresses and skirts should at least cover the knee so that you don't expose your underwear to the man at the front. These days, people wear skirts that are dangerously running away from the knees. Then they will have one scarf to be using to cover their legs so you don't see their underwear. Why don't you just add an extra half a yard to that skirt and lengthen it? I say, man of God, all my dresses are trousers. All my dresses are trousers. Convert them to skirts. Put scissors, cut it up here, cut it up here to become a skirt. And you see, your skirt is only as long as that slit you cut on it. And when you wear clothes that sticks to your body like glue, you are advertising something. I watched a program on TV. It was in France. They brought the fashion experts. They were discussing fashion. I didn't know what drew my attention to that program. Then they began to talk. And one lady they call expert said something which I can never forget. Said, every dress you put on has a voice. She is saying something. They speak. And she said, you can dress to seduce. You can dress to impress. You can dress for ceremonies. But every dress has a voice. It's saying something. It now makes me to understand what Zechariah was saying when he says some people are putting on strange garments. Tight-fitting clothing. Huggies and things like that. They are ungodly.
And if you are an instrument to make another person stumble, the Bible says it's better to throw you into the depth of the sea. Some men are already in trouble when women are even wearing large dresses. But now, you now wear this, the one that is tight, very tight. You add more to their confusion. I pray that as many people as are in bondage to these things, they shall be set free in Jesus' name. If you have plenty of jewelries at home, you don't know what to do with them, go and sell it. Use the money for the gospel. And build a castle for yourself in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy. Listen carefully. There are some reasons, actually almost 25 reasons, why it is safer for you spiritually to remain natural. 25 reasons why it is safer for you to remain natural. To remain natural. One, the origin of makeup is from fallen angels. Those angels who fell in the book of Genesis and they came to marry the daughter of men, they were the ones who taught the daughters of men makeup. Makeup. And those who call it makeup, I think they were very correct. That is, the thing is not up to standard, you want to make it up. Makeup. The origin is from those fallen angels. Two, the origin of decorative jewelry is in deep idolatry. The original jewelry that was available, they were amulets and charms that people were using. Three, you may end up polluting your life by using occultic symbols in jewelry. And prayer cannot deliver you from that one. It's knowledge. Just take it off. That's all. Take it off. It's an abomination. Remove it. Four. If you don't remain natural, you will pay the price of altering the image of God. Piercing of ears has its origin in slavery and idolatry. I've explained the idolatry aspect to you. The slavery aspect, in those days, they bore hole into the ears of slaves to recognize that they are slaves. If they put the hole in one ear, it means you have one slave master. When they bore it into two ears, it means you have two slave masters. I'm sure you are not a slave. Five. When you remain natural, you'll be able to pay more attention to your inner beauty. You pay more attention to your inner beauty. Six, when you remain natural, you will not share in the iniquities of others you don't know about. Seven, when you remain natural, you will not become a slave of unknown powers. A single hearing can keep a spirit husband in your life forever, unless you throw it away. Unless you throw it away. A lot of inanimate objects, they carry demons that you can't see. I remember the other time, this diplomat from Nigeria came back from some countries abroad. And everybody became sick in the house. He was sick, the wife was sick, children were sick. Everything was upside down. So he begged somebody to beg me to come. That was many years ago. Immediately I entered into their house, there was this overshadowing heaviness. To even do praise worship there was difficult. So I said, sorry. We're not going to pray now. I started pointing at this. Bring this. They were all decorative materials he brought from other countries to Nigeria. So bring them. So put them on the floor. I said, we must destroy these ones. I said, No, sir. They were expensive souvenirs. So we must destroy them if you must have peace. So with due respect, no, sir. So I carried my Bible. Say, okay, bye. Sir, look, here, come back. Say, are you going to leave us like this? But you don't want us to destroy these things that are destroying you. The wife said, darling, let him destroy them. So we put them outside. Put kerosene on top. Put match. Immediately it caught fire. We were not sleeping.
in Indian music begin to come out of the fire. Indian music. The man said, yeah, what? Who is singing? The demons here. He said, and you can stand there. He ran away. And he was the one that brought it in. He ran back inside. I thought he was just going there to sit down. Now he went and brought all of that decoration. Burn them. So, an inanimate object can carry demons. And it will be inviting trouble to your life. 8. If you don't remain natural, you may be a hidden idol advertiser and worshiper. 9. If you don't remain natural, you may bring abomination into your house when you use strange objects and symbols as part of your dressing. The Bible didn't say you cannot dress well. You can dress well, wear expensive clothing, but jewelry, earrings, bangles, bracelets, anklets, all those things, it is not in accordance with what the Word of God wants the children of God to put on. 10. If you don't remain natural, you may put on materials that will be testifying against you or dedicate you to strange powers. 11. If you don't remain natural, you may be wearing things carrying a sign you don't understand. And you may be under hidden curses being released against you. 12. If you don't remain natural, you may carry an evil aura around your person because of those things you are putting on. 13. If you don't remain natural, you may be responsible for making others to stumble. Make others to stumble. Your ear is your ear. If it's short, then God wanted it short. Leave it like that. If it's long, leave it like that. God wanted it to be long. Now, attaching all kinds of things to it, whether it is cloth, or wool, or wire, whether imported weave one or the one you are putting on yourself, or attachments, you are looking for trouble for that head. 14. Our early Pentecostal fathers in Nigeria, all of them, without any exception, they banned the use of jewelry and earrings and those things. Because God opened their eyes to see that it's a magnet of evil. Men like Joseph Babalola, all those men of old, they banned these things from their churches. And it is very, very sad. Very sad. Very sad. And we need to be very, very careful. Up till this very moment, I've seen the wife of the general overseer of First Choir before. I saw that she doesn't use those things. I've seen the wife of the general overseer of the Redeemed Christian Church of God. She doesn't use those things. And most of you have seen my wife. Don't use those things because of this. And when you do not want to resemble your father, and there is a problem. So our early Pentecostal fathers who spoke to God face to face, they banned it. Even our forefathers who were not Christians, they say gold is a demon. 15. If you refuse to remain natural, you may be applying materials from aborted babies, corpses, executed prisoners, human placenta to your body. Many people don't know that they use these things to make makeups. Aborted babies, corpses, executed prisoners, human placenta. They use them to make makeup. And what a tragedy it is when somebody has added red color to a dead baby. And you say you want to use lipstick, you apply dead baby on your lips. These are Jezebelian kind of anointing. 16. Confessions from former satanists shows that jewelry and makeup can put you in iron-like bondages. There is even a cassette tape of a woman outside now who claimed to have spent maybe over 900 years in the demonic world. She even said, if you are using all this, you are going to hellfire. She said it point blank. She said it. It's the truth. But it's bitter. But there's nothing you can do about it. 17. The children of Ishmael in the Bible, They were the experts in wearing earrings, which is always rooted in slavery and idolatry. 18. When you remain natural, your inner beauty will manifest and you will have the beauty of the Lord upon your life. 19. The only cutting of the flesh allowed in scripture is male circumcision. Anything different from male circumcision, the Bible doesn't want you to cut your flesh in anywhere. So all those body tattoos, if I ask some of our mamas to remove their clothes now, they will have drawn pictures of leaf, lizard, cockroach on their bodies with tattoos. Some even have the sign of the oracle printed on their body like this. The Bible says, don't cut your body at all. Any cutting in your body brings out your blood, and that blood, you use it to form a covenant with some demons. 20. You should remain natural because your body is the temple of God and should not be defiled. 21. You need to remain natural, beloved, because the fashion of this world passes away. Remember what I said before I started this message? Say, I'm not trying to persuade you. No. Let me just state the truth. So it's left to you now what to do with it. At least my neck will have been clean. There will be nobody's blood on my head. You will say they didn't explain to us. 22. Wedding rings too. They do not have their origin in scripture. The third finger they are putting it is rooted in an ancient belief that the blood is running directly from that third finger into the heart. That the ring will capture the heart of the man. That's why in Mountain of Fire and Miracles Music, we do not join people with rings. We join them with the Bible, which is the word of God. We don't say, with this ring, I thee wed. No. It's with this Bible, which is the word of God, which cannot be broken, join you together. If your wedding ring gets missing and the enemy steals it and takes it to the coven, the marriage is in trouble. 23. Holiness is from inside to the outside. If tomato is ripe outside, it's because it's ripe inside. If you pursue holiness within, all these things will make no sense to you again. Will make no sense to you again. 24. Prophets, prophetesses of God, avoid anything that will bring danger into their lives. They avoid it. So that they don't transfer trouble from one life to the other. The last point can be gathered in Isaiah chapter 3. I'm reading from verse 16. Isaiah chapter 3, verse 16. I'm here to help you, and you have to listen to the word of God. Any husband that wants to marry you and does not want you to look natural, you better be careful, because that kind of, you haven't found a husband yet. You have found a showboy. Because the day he finds somebody who can paint better than you, he's gone. If the man marries you because of the contour of your body, the day he sees somebody with a better contour, he's gone. Isaiah chapter 3, verse 16. Moreover, the Lord said, because the daughters of Zion are haughty and walk with stretched foot necks. Haven't you noticed how some people change the style they used to walk? Some men bend one side to walk, as if the ground is calling them from the right side to the left side. They walk with stretched foot necks and wanton eyes, walking and missing as they go and making tinkling with their feet. So therefore the Lord will smite with his cap the crown of the head of the daughters of Zion, and the Lord will discover their secret parts. In that day the Lord will take away the bravery of their tinkling ornaments about their feet and their curls and their round towers like the moon. The way some people tie skyscraper headgear to church on Sunday prevents them from praying. Apart from blocking the face of the person at the back from seeing the preacher, she cannot pray. Because his head may fall off. 19. The chains and the bracelets and the mufflers, the bonnets and the ornaments of the legs and the headbands and the tablets and the earrings, the rings, the nose jewels, the changeable suits of apparel and the mantles and the whippings and the crispy pins, the glasses and the fine linen
and the hood and the veil. The Lord will take away all these things. And it shall come to pass that instead of sweet smell, there shall be a stink. Instead of a girdle, a rent. Instead of a well-set ear, baldness. Many women are becoming bald now. And instead of a stomacher, a garden of sackcloth. Stomacher, you know what is stomacher? This girdle you use and you squeeze yourself together. Squeeze it together so that all the fat is slim. A garden of sackcloth. And a burning instead of beauty. The book of Isaiah tells us the end result of this disobedience to the biblical injunction. When you see a newly born babe looking at the image of God, any attempt to deface or to alter that image, even including tribal marks they put on your face, it is a defiling, a kind of pollution of God's image. The judgment is what we've just read now. The ball is in your court. So that you take the truth or you leave it. But one way or the other, you will remember that you were told that these things are not safe for your spiritual sanity. And those of you are still hiding and hiding and hiding and hiding. And those of you say, well, the reason I can't join them here is because I don't like the address. Well, don't worry. Anything you cannot abandon for the Lord Jesus Christ has become an idol in your life. This is a serious matter. But listen to this. If you're a woman, you are coming here, and your husband does not come to this church, and your husband says you have to wear, if not, marriage you break, be wearing it and be praying that God should touch his heart. Should not break your marriage because of that. But there are some who claim to be born again. They come, your husband, come, your wife, come, sir. But they're still in bondage of jewelries and hearings and those things. God will help us in Jesus' name. Rise up on your feet now. Jesus told the Jews, say, you have somebody who judges you, even that Moses that you are talking about, is judging you because he has written things in the law you don't follow. I want you to talk to the Lord yourself. My father, error will not kill me. Talk to your father now. Open your mouth and talk to the Lord. Amen.